5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy. We're going to have Steve Ivey, the Swole Cracker, on talking CSU basketball with us. Man, that's just a diehard old school basketball fan. And he does a blog and a write-up at Ram Nation. Love it. I love it because it's real. It's not like this, you know, it's not necessarily like a reporter's point of view. It's a diehard fan that gets after it out there. So we love having the connection with him. It's fun. But before we do that, we're take a look at all the things that have happened since Broncos beat the Chiefs. Angel, how old were you in 2015?
Ooh, I would have been 17 that year.
Oh, wow. Yikes. 17, you were 17 years old the last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs.
I remember that season very well, too. I remember watching that Super Bowl with my grandfather, because I was a Broncos fan back then.
So, yeah. And you're not a Broncos fan anymore. No. You moved to Colorado and you become not a Broncos fan.
Exactly. I became a fan of every other sport but the Broncos.
The last time they beat him, it was a Thursday night game, so it was on primetime. That was Jamal Charles was going for the Chiefs. I mean, that was nuts. I mean, think about some of the things that happened back then. We've been through two U.S. presidents since then. Wasn't the Star Wars, the new sequel trilogy, getting released right around that point, too?
Yep.
The big song of that year was Whip and Nay Nay.
Nice.
That was the song. The Royals were
flashbacks to high school.
The Royals were on a championship run. That was a long time ago. Andy Reid was the his third season. He's been with the Chiefs that long already. Wow. That was his third season with the Chiefs. Can't believe he's been with the Chiefs that long.
I feel like he's been there forever, though.
I don't. For me, it's
apparently,
like I feel
been.
Like he was with the Eagles. But yeah, he has been there. He's been there since 2012. That was right. And then, of course, the Broncos were running the table, man. I mean, Peyton Manning, Sheriff, they weren't losing games. They damn sure weren't losing many division games. But that was a strange trajectory after that. You know, that was a crossing moment. Broncos were going on to win the Super Bowl, but it did feel like, all right, Manning's on his last legs. This defense is fantastic. But we always, what do you do? What's the first thing you think of when you think of great defenses or great offenses? You think, okay, somebody's going to get paid. So who all are they going to pay? They chose to pay Von Miller. So they were passing each other on this way. It was like the elevators going up. The Broncos were going up to win that Super Bowl, but then quickly right back down after that. And the Chiefs did win the final game, second game they played. That was the game that Peyton Manning kind of gets pulled out of there because of, you know, his heel and all of that stuff. Broncos, we all know, went on to win the Super Bowl that year. It was tough, though. Offensively, they couldn't really do much. Brock Osweiler was all right, but we know that defense was just historic. But after that, of course, they finally got it right. That was a weird year for them. That was the year that Jamal Charles tore his ACL. He's lost for the season. I don't know if he was ever right pretty much after that again. Now, he played, and again, played for the Broncos for a short stint.
No, I remember watching Jamal Charles. Like, he was one of the best running backs in the league during that time.
Yeah, he was. He was a stud. He was great. But that was a weird year, man. I mean, the Broncos, that last year they lost 29-13, so that was the first one that they lost in this streak of 11 losses. And, I mean, the Chiefs, they were okay that year. It's not like they were bad. They were all right. They made the playoff game. They made it to a playoff game. Then that's when things started to change for them. They got Patrick Mahomes, and they became, you know, they looked at it and said, we're not going to be this Alex Smith team anymore. You know, he's good, but how far can he really get us? He's going to get us to the playoffs? Great. We think we need to turn the page and make that big change. They lost to the Patriots that year in the divisional round. And then after that, they've been damn good. They made the playoffs every year since then. They won 5 consecutive AFC West titles. They've had two, they have 2 trips to the Super Bowl, 1 Super Bowl. Andy Reid has been fantastic for the Chiefs. So in that process, you have the Broncos. Both teams, all right. Broncos were good. They win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs get in the playoffs. Like, the Broncos weren't the best team in the NFL that year.
Oh, no.
They just got freaking hot.
Well, the Panthers had put, like, 40 points on everybody.
Panthers were, like, they were the favorite. They were the favorite. Easy. I don't know what the, I think the spread was like 5. And a 5-point spread in the Super Bowl is kind of big. So the Broncos weren't great. They were about the same, to be honest. The Chiefs and the Broncos were kind of whatever. But the Broncos caught fire in the playoffs, and the Chiefs didn't. They went and won their Super Bowl. And after that, we all know what happened. It just got worse as it went along. Gary Kubiak's second year, they go 9-7. He got out of Dodge. Life without Manning, that defense was not the same as it was. It was still all right that year. They were 9-7. But slowly but surely, they started to disintegrate. Such a weird, I mean, a crossing of franchise, essentially. Because at that point, the Broncos would drop off completely, and then the Chiefs would become the best. They would become the best team in the NFL for a couple of stretches. They're not there right now. They can be, though. They can get there. There's still plenty of season left for the Chiefs to turn this thing around. And actually, I think they do. But so looking at the matchups in this game, the thing that scares me, one of the biggest things that scares me the most right now is Broncos offensive line. Chiefs offensive line going up against the Broncos run stoppers. Because this line, and although I was critical, they were all new guys, all good guys, but all new faces on this offensive line. But they have gotten better. They've gotten much better. And I think that that's going to be tough. This isn't the same Kansas City offensive line that we've seen over the last few years. You know, they moved on from Eric Fisher and a couple of star linemen. So they went out and got a bunch of new players. And listen, Orlando Brown, all those guys, good. But I was skeptical to see how they work together. Well, they've been figuring it out.
I think the matchup I'm going to be paying attention to is the secondary. Obviously, with Patrick Surtain, who's he's going to be covering? You got Kelsey and Hill and Watkins. I think he's still on that team.
I think they're going to put Patrick Surtain on. I've heard things that they'll try him out on Kelsey a little bit, which is going to be really interesting.
He's got the size for it.
Yeah, and he's a very smart corner. I mean, rookie, but he's a very smart corner.
Look where he played in college.
You know? Yeah, well, you always have to throw those things in, huh?
I love my kids, man.
Yeah, you do.
You watch them grow up, get to the NFL, make it big.
Who wins that matchup then, Patrick Surtain and Travis Kelsey?
Oh, I love Patrick, but I think Travis Kelsey.
Kelsey wins that.
He's just the best tight end in the league.
I don't see corners being able to really guard him, but I did see that. I don't know that that's going to be the whole game, but I think they're going to try some of that. So you're right. That was kind of my second matchup there. That's going to be a key, because that's going to be a really key factor here, because if the Chiefs start running the ball, Vic Fangio, is he likely to bring the safeties up? And then if you do that, Tyreek Hill over the top.
Well, that, and then they'll stretch you out and then go right to the middle again and get you in the spaces.
Yeah.
Kelsey.
So, but that's the thing. So, who are you focusing more on in this game, Travis Kelsey or Tyreek Hill? I think you focus more on Tyreek Hill. Because I think Travis Kelsey, yeah, he's going to beat you, but not in the gigantic doses. I always say this with the defense. The longer you can keep an offense on the field, whether they're driving or not, you do open up opportunities for mistakes to happen.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Kelsey's the guy Patrick's going to on third down. Hill's the big play guy, and Hardman is just like the other receiver that's there. But you have to be able to know where all three of those guys are at once.
Yeah, no question. They did activate. Clyde Edwards-Helaire too. So I mean, you got him off of injured reserve before the game against the Cowboys last week. So he's going to be, you know, usually when you see them get back in that second or third week back, that's when they start picking it up. He had 70 yards, I think, against 60. So activating him is a big deal for this Chiefs team.
I'd like to see Javonte have a good game.
I think so too. But defensively, the Chiefs have played much better. But you got to stay the course with Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon, is he going to go? He didn't practice today. So that hurts. But you do put pressure on Javonte Williams at this age, as a rookie. We'll talk more Broncos Chiefs. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears. Colorado State's got a huge basketball coming up. We're going to talk to the Swole Cracker, Steve Ivey, Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the show. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, we got Swole Cracker himself, Steve Ivey. Love your write-ups, my friend. Always a big fan. And man, we had a lot of fun last week. It was an honor to be your guest at the CSU-UNC game last Saturday.
Hey, Brady, thanks a lot again for having me. Yeah, we had a great time. We're treated to a fantastic game, and like I told you afterward, I'll bring you to every game if you can guarantee me that CSU wins and they win in a very close, exciting game, because blowouts aren't anywhere near as fun as what we got last Saturday with the CSU-UNC game.
Two good basketball teams, right? And two good coaches, too. I think both Nico Medved and Steve Smiley are just so good for the area as far as really trying to grow basketball in the state.
Yeah, you know, Smiley, what a fantastic job last night. You know, after a tough emotional loss on Saturday where UNC definitely played well enough to win, that was tough on the players and that was tough on the staff. That was a very important game to him. And for him to get the team ready for a very, very good opponent and the first conference game of the year, and, you know, the conference games are so important, what a fantastic job at the turnaround that he did to have his team ready. He didn't let CSU beat him twice. They went out and beat a good Montana State team last night. So kudos to UNC.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about it too. That the Big Sky Conference is no joke. I think some people tend to overlook the conference because it's not one of those major conferences we talk about. But, man, they have some really good basketball teams.
You know, if you look at it, looks like I've done a little examination. Looks like Weber State is playing awfully well this year, and Southern Utah is good. And then you get the UNCs and the Montanas and the Montana States that'll battle. I'm already planning. I'm not going to be able to make any games this month, but I've already penciled in that Weber State UNC game on January 27th. I will be there for that one.
Yeah, that's what I love about you, my friend. You're just an overall basketball guy. You get the game. It was very fun listening to you just kind of talk about the X's and O's of the game on Saturday. This Rams team, Steve, they're 8-0. They're looking fantastic. No problems the other night against Little Rock, 86-55. This one tomorrow afternoon, more afternoon basketball for CSU is huge. In fact, I'm seeing a lot of national writers and talkers that are either paying attention to this game or, in some cases, are going to this game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you noticed. What's really interesting was it could have been picked up as a national TV game on Fox Sports 1. But they wanted to move the game to 9 o'clock, and Nico said, "Absolutely not. I don't want national TV. If we have to move to 9 o'clock, I'm trying to build a fan base." So he wanted a 2 o'clock game because he wanted to make sure that he had a time slot that fit the needs of people in the area. So we'll see close to a sellout tomorrow. There were less than 1,000 seats available. You know, they seat about 8,000 now. They'll probably do about 7,500, maybe sell the whole thing out. But it's on. It is going to be on streamed on Stadium TV, and you got broadcasters coming in. You know, Doug Gottlieb, who's national, and Jeff Goodman, who's very national. Those are Stadium TV guys, and they're coming in to actually do the game, and that'll be exciting to have.
Yeah, no question. And how cool? I know we say this all the time, but I don't think we can say it enough, to be honest. Nico Medved is a special individual. He's a special coach. And for him to say, hey, no, we're not sacrificing fan support at Moby for several reasons. You know, obviously they want the fans there. It does help them out. But he wants his fans to have the best experience possible. So, again, Nico Medved stepping up where it counts the most.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock games are tough on old guys like me. You have to home till 11:30. I guarantee you, guys like Kevin, who writes for the Colorado, isn't real appreciative being up that late trying to hit a. You know, they can't even make a deadline at that point, I don't think. So it's a no fun time, and to have a 2 o'clock in the afternoon game, I think it'll be a little more conducive to students on a Saturday, and I think we'll get a packed student section tomorrow, and that will make a huge difference in the environment.
Yeah, no question about it. Talk to us about what it's going to take tomorrow, Steve. Tell us about St. Mary's. What are the big concerns there going into this one tomorrow?
You know, St. Mary's is a rugged team, really good program. If you look at Ken Pom rankings, currently 33rd, they brought back everybody from last year's team. They are all seniors or super seniors. They start one junior, but they bring in a senior off the bench. So it is a very, very experienced team. They are rugged, and they are fundamental. And so very slow paced. They will not beat themselves. They play great defense, top five in the nation right now in defense. You have a hard time getting good shots against them. And so, like I said, they won't beat themselves. You've got to figure out a way to get points against them. And ultimately, you got to figure out a way to defend and keep them from getting into the paint, keep them from finishing near the rim, keep them from getting offensive rebounds and putbacks. That's going to be key to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. Talk to us about the game they had the other night, or going up against Utah State. Utah State's a good basketball team, and that was a heck of a ball game.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw much about it. Very controversial ending.
Yeah, I saw that.
Utah State led for most of the game. Good team. Utah State's every bit right up there with CSU in terms of top of the Mountain West, and they had a good crowd in Logan, and they led most of the game. St. Mary's took the lead. Utah State came back, got a steal, and had the last shot to win the game. Tough call, no foul call. Ball goes available for a rebound with a second to go, and a whistle blows, and they call a foul on Utah State. St. Mary's, 85 feet away from the basket, gets a 1-1 to win the game with 0.9 seconds on the clock, and it was kind of a tough. It was a legitimate foul, but what a tough way to lose a game. The guy makes two free throws, and that ended up being the margin. So it was a very, very tough battle between two very, very good teams. 60-58 was the score. It's pretty much, if you get the 60 points against St. Mary's, you got a good chance of winning. You better get the 60, though. They got a chance to hold you to 50 in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
They're good.
Well, and they scored 16 in the first half, but bounced right back, scored 44. So, I mean, this team, they don't get down on themselves. They're kind of resilient, kind of like Colorado State.
Yeah, ultimately, if you look at the numbers in that game, St. Mary shot 0 for 12 from 3 in the first half, and then they shot 7 for 11 in the second half, so completely turned it around. They had open threes in the first half. They just didn't bury them. They made them in the second half. But, you know, they're a very, very veteran team, and they don't beat themselves. You know, if you beat them by 6 points, that's like beating another team by 20 points. That's how tough they are. They will always hang around every game they play. The only team in the last year that they've lost to by double digits is Gonzaga. That's the conference players in the West Coast Conference, and that's the only team that's beat them by double digits. So they're good.
We're talking to Steve Ivey, all things Colorado State basketball, big one tomorrow afternoon against St. Mary's. All right, who do you think is going to be the difference maker for the Rams, or needs to be the difference maker tomorrow? Do we go at the obvious, one of the studs, Roddy or Stevens, or do you see somebody else being an X factor tomorrow afternoon?
You know, I think you have to start with David and Isaiah, as well as their playing and the leadership that they provide. I think we're going to have to see Roddy deliver on the inside, and I think we're going to have to see Isaiah control the game. But I think one of the real keys, Brady, is the depth of CSU. St. Mary's is not a real deep team. They play their starters a lot of minutes, and so you're going to have to see really good defensive performances by the usual culprits coming off the bench, the Jalen Lakes, the Chandler Jacobs, and then starter Kendall Moore. if they can control the point guard for Tommy Cousy for St. Mary's, they stand a very, very good chance of winning the game. And I think that's ultimately the key, is how well they defend Cousy, keep him out of the paint. The guy, Cousy, is a very crafty fifth-year player, scores, just gets into the paint, distributes, or scores at the rim. And if you can keep him from doing that, you have a good chance of stopping St. Mary's. So I think that the key is going to be the defense they play on Cousy, and then just the steadiness and the leadership of Roddy and Isaiah.
All right, Steve, before we let you go, you picking the Rams to win this one? They're going to remain undefeated?
I will never pick against the Rams, Brady.
Hey, we've got one of those here with us. We got Angel, our producer. I don't think he's ever picked the Bears to lose a game either. So I get it, man. I get where you're coming from.
Well, why would you pick against your own team? My God. I mean, could they lose? Yeah, I accept that. You know, last year, you know, I don't think we're going to see what happened last year when CSU lost 55-33. I do know this, and I feel really, really good. CSU is really good when they target certain games. We saw it against Oral Roberts at the start of the year. They circled that game. They knew that was going to be a nationally prominent game against a team that was kind of a media darling after being Sweet 16, and they, you know, won by 29. And they got to the Paradise Jam, and they had Creighton was the big team on the schedule. And they buried Creighton. This game, I can tell you right now, this game is circled. CSU is very, very up for this game, and they've used this past week to get ready for this game. And I think we're going to see them come out smoking tomorrow.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one, my friend. Steve, always good to catch up with you. Where can we check out your work, man? I love what you put together for us so we can get Ram Nation. It's a great way for Rams fans to learn about Colorado State.
So you can always find links on ramnation.com, but you can get at me directly with crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. I publish on WordPress. So those are the two areas. And then you can follow me on Twitter as well at I don't even know my handle on Twitter, but you can find me on Twitter, Swole Cracker. I
got it. Swole Cracker, S-W-O-L-L Cracker. There it is, my friend.
And someday we'll have to spend time. Brady is I'll explain to you how that's my handle.
I think that's the goal next week. We're going to do it, my friend. Steve, appreciate you, man. I love it. Nobody better as far as knowing about this basketball game, this Colorado State team, than you. And we appreciate your time.
Brady, thanks for having me. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, my man. There he is. That's the Swole Cracker. I love this guy. He's great. He's our Colorado State Rams basketball insider. 32 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Kaur Jong-Kooch. I love this guy. He is playing great basketball. We're going to talk to him next after a big Bears win over Montana State. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now, I have had so much fun watching this player grow with the UNC Bears. And boy, is he important to what this Bears team is about and what their plans are throughout the course of the season. Joining us now, Kaur Jong-Kooch. Kaur, my friend, we've been saying it forever, but it's great to finally get you on the program.
It's great to be here.
Hey, man. All right, take us through last night. This was a crazy game for you guys. You go to overtime. It's your first Big Sky Conference game up against Montana State. You get into overtime. You just had some monster moments in this game, man. What was going through your head when you get that basket to force overtime?
I just didn't want to miss it because sometimes I miss those. You're so close and you don't realize how close you are and you throw it a little long. So I was just praying that it went in. And when it happened, I said, thank God I didn't miss that.
Hey, I like that. That's an honest answer, man. Hey, just thank God. Hopefully this thing goes in there so we can get to overtime. But you had some monster boards, some big blocks too, man. Kaur, what have you noticed in yourself? I mean, the transition from last year to this year, I'm telling you, we are seeing a heck of a player. I mean, I in my opinion, the best big man in the conference.
I think it's got to do with the coaching staff. They're just letting me play a lot more freely this year. I'm not too worried about fouls, and they've been preparing us pretty well for these games. So our job is to go out there and play and not think, and that's what I've been doing, and I guess it's paying off.
Well, yeah, and talk about playing with fouls. You had four fouls in this one, yet the discipline to not get fouled out. I mean, if you go out of that game, Coor, who knows what happens there. But that's a tricky thing. Anytime you get in that deep of foul trouble, to find a way to still play aggressive, but not getting that final foul.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to find that balance because you get two fouls early on, and then now you have to play a little conservative, but you also have to play a little aggressive as well. So making sure I didn't get the last foul was something that was in the back of my head, but you still got to play to win. So that's what I did last night.
Yeah, you did, my friend. 14 points, 8 rebounds. I mean, you're a double-double machine. I know you didn't get that one last night, but every time I look, it seems like you're getting a double-double. And you've just been so much fun to watch. You got all these great guards around you, too. There's so much speed on this offense, which is what opens up a lot of those open shots, too. But, it also makes you got to work hard in there, man. You being kind of the big man that runs this show. Talk about that, with just all these guards surrounding you, running around trying to get open, and you're running the paint.
Man, it's great to have all these guards that are running around because it just leaves you one-on-one with their other big man, and you can just go to work, and you don't have to worry about people trying to double you or people coming trying to steal the ball. And if they do, we have amazing shooters all around. So it's great to have all these great guards running around because it makes life easier for me.
You guys have had so many games where you've had a lead or they're close, and we go back to the Saturday game against Colorado State. You guys were up 13. How big was it for you guys to finally just close this thing? It was close. Montana State kept scaring us even in the last seconds. But how important was that for you guys to get one and say, all right, we can close these games out? You guys can play with anybody, but being able to close it out was big for you guys.
It was. Seeing or closing out this game was really important to us because, as you said, we've been in a lot of close situations where we fell short. So being able to win this one at the very end shows that we can do it. It puts more faith into us and knowing that we got this and we have nothing to worry about for future games that come down to the wire.
Yeah, some big ones coming up again tomorrow. Let's fill that place up. Get out there to Bank of Colorado Arena going up against Montana. We're talking to Coor John Cooch with the UNC Bears. Let me take you back to Saturday. I thought Saturday was a crazy game for so many reasons, but you mentioned your coaching staff. When I was talking to Coach Reed, just sitting around the staff at the end of the game, their faces light up when they talk about you, man. I mean, they just light up. And I saw at one point in that CSU game, a timeout was called. Houston Reed just runs up and gives you the old bear hug, man. I mean, this coaching staff really loves watching you play.
They do. I love playing for them as well. It's just a great environment that we have. They coach us really well. We respond to them. And it's just a great environment for everybody.
Yeah, Coach Faringer too. I'm talking to him, and he's like, we were talking about David Roddy, and David Roddy's one of those players before the season. I mean, he's touted to be on all these lists, on all these top players lists, and rightfully so. He's a great player, but Coor, you kind of kept him in check on Saturday. I mean, did you think about that at the end, or was it just another basketball game to you? Because I was absolutely impressed, my man.
Man, David Roddy's a hell of a player. He's really good, and man, all credit to him, but I got to give credit to the coaching staff. They got us prepared for the game. They told us what he's going to do, what his tendencies are. So that made life easier on me. I just had to go out there, play hard, and it would pay off, and I guess it paid off on Saturday. So it was great, but playing against him was hard. Like, you have to be on your A game 24/7 because at any point in time, he can go and score 30 points. So I had to be focused and dialed in when playing against them.
Yeah, well, again, man, it was so cool to see, and talking to your coaching staff about that. Again, their faces just light up. We had Coach Smiley on earlier, and you barely mentioned your name, and he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, we got to talk about Coor. It's really fun to watch you grow with this program, man.
Thank you. It feels great to grow as well, but I haven't really realized it, because when you're going through all these practices, you don't really see the growth until you look at the stat sheet and be like, oh, I'm getting a double-double. Well, 2 years ago, I didn't even think I had one. But it's great. It's fun. The journey's been really good, and it's still going great. And I hope we continue to grow.
Yeah, big one again tomorrow against Montana. Coeur, who's your best friend on the team?
My best friend on the team, I would have to say all of them, because they're all my brothers, but the ones I probably spend more time with is Trey and Dylan, since I live with them. So we do a lot of things together. We go game night, we go out to eat, we go play soccer, we do a lot of things together.
This is what you typically see, right? I mean, when you see great basketball teams, and I think that that's what you guys are, and those wins are going to start piling up. When you see solid basketball teams, it does seem like there's that theme of we're all tight, we're all good friends, we're all close. Every player I've interviewed on this Bears basketball team has said something similar to what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shows that how close we are as a team, even though we might not live together, we might have different schedules, we all find a way to do something together, and we all find a way to be intertwined and be one with each other.
Coeur, last one for you. Outside of basketball, you just said you kept playing soccer and stuff, but what do you do for fun, man? What are you doing when you're just like hanging around? And do you video games, movies? What are you into?
I like to play backgammon. I know it's strange, but my godfather and I, we play backgammon a lot. We probably play a few hours of that each night. So that's what I like to do for fun. If not that, I go on a bike ride.
Okay. I've never played before. So at some point, man, you got to break it down for me, because I would like to learn how to play.
I'll teach you, but I don't think you'll be very good. It takes some time to learn.
You know what? That is probably 100% true. It would take me forever, especially me, man. I mean, it takes me a while on that. Coeur, you're a delight, my friend, and it's fun watching you play basketball. It's fun watching this team play basketball, and congratulations on a beautiful win last night. Let's go do the same thing against Montana tomorrow night.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, let's do it again, okay?
All right, have a good day.
All right, you too. That's Coeur Jonkooch. What a great dude. Okay, so at some point, Angel, we want to get him on I want to see if we can get him on for like a long one-hour thing, because I really wanted to talk basketball. But he has the most interesting story growing up. And if you do yourself a favor and Google him, he is a rare individual. He is a very good guy.
That's really cool. And I've followed this team for past year now. I did some reporting on them in the spring, so seeing these guys and then getting to meet them, Bodie and Coeur, just great guys, and they talk about how great their team is, and Smiley, it's all, I love this program right now.
Yeah, getting to know these players, and again, that was just a typical interview, not typical, it was a great interview, but you know, we're doing this NIL stuff, this name, image, and likeness, we're getting to know these guys a lot more. I know we're putting stuff together with Dalen Kuntz. We'd love to do it with every single one of these players. They're just great individuals. And that is the theme with Steve Smiley and Nico Medved, is they want stud basketball players, but they want high character guys. And that, it's easy for us to say that, but that's not always the case. I mean, there are basketball coaches that just want skill. They don't look at the others, and that's true.
No, it's things you got to watch during timeouts and breaks. What's the body language look like? How are these guys communicating? All that stuff is worked on in practice, and that's the coaching philosophy for those guys. They're player coaches, they're team oriented, and it breeds success.
Yeah, no question about it. What a great guy, Coeur Jonkooch. The Bears win last night in overtime. They got Montana tomorrow. See if they can start conference play 2-0. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up on the other side. I'll give you my Broncos Chiefs pick. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insights, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Wrapping it up for the week already. It does not feel like it should be Friday. fast-moving show. We are going to be Brian Gary, the Good Afternoon Guy. He's going to be live and on location at the Midnight Oil Bookstore in downtown Greeley. It's a, you know where like Henry's Pub is, Mad Cow, kind of right across the street there, right by the Ice House, kind of. So come by and see us. Brian's going to be there. You got a chance to win $1,000. I'm going to be down there. We're going there right after the show. You got a chance to win $1,000. Second place wins $500. Third place wins $300. All you got to do is go by and drop your name in the KFK sled sitting there. So make sure you do that. Heck of an opportunity. And go meet Brian. Go meet the Good Afternoon Guy, man. What better way to start your weekend than meeting like one of the most positive people ever?
Even if you had a bad week, just go talk to Brian.
Go talk to Brian.
You'll cheer up in seconds.
Yeah. So, you know, you're gonna be coming down there signing autographs, probably.
I might.
You might do it.
I don't have much of a signature, but.
Yeah, it's fine. But it'll be fun. So we're looking forward to it. All right. Broncos, Chiefs. Whew. This has been a tough one, man. 9.5-point spread. That's right. We are doing our full. Big, we got a lot of picks to get to, Angel. Oh, boy. You know, I've done all right on my picks, Angel.
Where are you sitting at right now?
I'm 26 and 25. But you said I need to be six over, so I got to really rely on the Broncos. Oh, Tanner Schwint's going to be down there, by the way, too. He just texted me.
The whole crew is there.
Tanner's going to be there. Oh, boy. We got a big party happening at Midnight Oil Bookstore in downtown Greeley. Do they cover? Do you think they cover?
I could see this being a 7-9 game. Not like the score, but like 7-point,
yeah.
7-point game. I don't think they'll cover. All right.
Oh,
yeah, I do think they will cover. It will be a close game, but I think the Chiefs will get a field goal or something at the end of, you know, just barely get under that cover.
I need to win this one because I'm 26 and 25. I can't go to 500. I can't. I have to go over, so I got to be smart here. The smart part of my brain says the Chiefs are going to win this game by 14. 27-14. Something like that. But you know what, Angel? The Broncos haven't beat the Chiefs in 11 games. I think that this defense is playing at a different level. They've had a couple of games that they just haven't looked right, but I think this defense is good for Denver. I think the Chiefs' defense is good. Ah, so difficult. Whew. I mean, seriously, I'm having a hard time. I want to pick them to win. I don't know if I should. I think it might be silly. But you know what? I'm gonna.
Do it.
I'm taking the Broncos to beat the Chiefs on Sunday. They go 7-5. This team's going to the playoffs. And who knows what happens then? Nobody in the AFC is running away with this thing. The Broncos are beating the Chiefs on Sunday. Good night, Northern Colorado.